The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Tuesday, the 22nd of January, 2019. On the podcast today, I have Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, and Alan talks about the following companies: Bidstack, BIDS, ECR Minerals, ECR, and Feedback, FDBK. Plus, as always, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too. By the way, you can see these, in fact, top 10 versions of these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk. Plus, a load of content, articles and podcasts on companies obviously listed in the UK. That's voxmarkets.co.uk.
To receive free company updates straight to the front screen of your smartphone whenever a company you follow releases significant news, download the free Vox Markets app from voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're right, Al.
A very good morning, Jess. Yes, very good. Thanks. And we were talking about vegan food, weren't we? Which could be huge, you say.
Well, you know what? I just think this is the first wave, pretty much. You know, we're getting all those popular things. I mean, the crossover period was when sort of Greg's, you know, which is the mainstay of, you'd think is that the meat eater, the fast food meat eater. But they've started going into doing it now. And I just think I've cut back on meat a lot. I very rarely eat meat, if ever. If I'm on holidays, sometimes I'll have a dabble, but I'm more fish and I don't do dairy. I don't like that industry anyway. But I just think at the moment that we are looking at the start of a wave of popularity. This is the first bit, the razor, this awareness that's going around. It's just a start. And I think we're not far off having sort of, I bet down the road, but 5 years on the road, there'll be a chain of good vegan restaurants, you know, a good brand. And I'm thinking, right, where can I find that investment now? That's what I'm looking for. And,
sure. I think you're absolutely right. I think it's very popular. I mean, my wife's brother and his wife came over last week, and they're both vegans. We had a fantastic vegan meal. It was really good. Really enjoyed it. But I mean, for me, I think variety is the spice of life. And I mean, we went out with some friends on Saturday night, and I had a fantastic burger in a pub locally that's renowned for really good burgers. So,
well, do you know what I had, which is surprising, which is very surprising? We went to a local pub with the kids that weren't here on Saturday. So, I mean, the wife went to see Bohemian Rhapsody, which was very good. I really enjoyed that a lot. And then we're going to get curry, and then we thought, and then Megan saw there was 50% off the local Beef Eater, right? And we never go there, because we didn't want to get a taxi to the local thing, get a taxi back, so we already had got a taxi and all that stuff. And we'd had a few drinks, so we said, we can just walk to that. So, we went there. And earlier on, Megan said about a restaurant, said, why don't certain restaurants just serve as many chips as you want? Because they don't cost a lot to make a chip, does it really? But yet it's a good selling point. And we went in Beef Eater, and it was unlimited chips. So you could have triple cooked, or you could have fries. So we were over. But I had a vegan burger, and it was an award-winning one. And it was one of the first burgers I've had. It was really, really nice. And I wouldn't normally. It's a sad impression, you know, of a burger. But it was quite tasty, quite spicy, quite tasty, and I quite enjoyed it. And I thought, that's nice. I thought, when it's you know, you shouldn't have to dumb down to become a vegan. When the food is as good as you know, and tasty as the meat version, then that's when it'll take off. And I was very impressed with the Beef Eater burger. Really, it's an award. Winning, I don't know where I won awards, but could be their own award, you know. But there we are. But
well, it's great. My daughter and her boyfriend, they're both vegetarian. They're not vegan, but you know, we had a nut roast with them recently, and it was fantastic. It was so tasty. So I mean, my view is, yes, I enjoy eating meat, I'm quite happy if we had, say, two vegetarian meals a week, two vegan meals, and then meat and then fish. That's great. That's a good mix for me. I'm happy with that. You know, it's
and that's the way. Have you seen that? I mean, because I'm not just talking. The reason why I think it'll be big, and it's not just because of, you know, or be nice to animals, which you should be nice to animals anyway, but it's not because of that. There's scientific reports coming out now that show economically we can't sustain. Do you know what they were saying? I mean, it's an excellent documentary on a while back, and I saw someone reminded me of it. But they're saying if everyone ate like people in India, which they do have a sort of vegetarian sort of, then the planet could sustain 15 billion people. If everyone eats consumes like Americans, we can only sustain 1.5 billion. Now we're at 7 billion, pretty much. So we're going to have to change the way we source our food, because we will kill you know, our source on the planet, and we have to, and you know, a diet based on meat is very intensive on land and water, and we, and if everyone in the world was meat eater, we couldn't sustain the planet. We couldn't sustain, so we have to change the way we eat. It's also they said environment, you know, full of gases and all that stuff. So is it not just, you know, being ethically nice, but I mean, it just makes sense on a sort of environmental and ecological sense. It also is good for your health, you know. Too much red meat is bad for you, so it just makes sense all around.
Yeah, yeah, but everything in moderation, and I think the French have a very good way of eating and consuming food. They have several courses. They eat slowly and they take time about it.
But do you know what? Phrase, everything in moderation, Al, is the hardest thing in the world. I find people just throw that off like it's easy. Moderation is very hard. If you can conquer moderation, you got life sussed. Because I find it really hard to have one pint or one chocolate biscuit. I can't do that at all. It's normally way too many pints, way too much chocolate. And so once you start enjoying something, and you know, food is so addictive, you know. So if you conquer moderation, you know, exercise in moderation, eat in moderation, you got life sussed. We're more likely to be extreme characters, you know.
A good mix of everything. That's good. That's sustainable. It's better for the planet. It's also better for you too. So that's it. So
anyway, we better get on to stocks and shares, Al.
I was going to say we put the world to rights. Now we've sorted the world's feeding habits for the next 30 years. Okay, so three stocks for you. Firstly, I'd like to thank both of you for putting a video forward, and also Money Sponge for providing some information as I did my research. A company called Bidstack, and you've had the CEO on recently too, James Draper. Yeah. Epicode is BIDS. So the stock is currently trading at just over 6.2p, 13.3 million market cap, bid as high as 7.25p, low as 4.25, IPO'd at 6p and raised 3.5 million a few months back. So what's Bidstack's offering? Bidstack have what they call a cross-platform in-game native advertising network. So by that, they provide channels for companies selling their wares to be able to advertise across these games, and whilst people are in the midst of gameplay, and this is both on a browser and on a mobile browsing platform, whilst people are in the middle of gameplay, ads can be served directly to those slots on the game space. So, for example, if you're playing a football game or something similar, the banners that run across along the side of the pitch, the ads can be served directly to that. Now, that's pretty cool, but it's also even cooler because Bidstack have a first mover advantage in this space. The company have already four major deals in the bag, one with Sega, the gaming company. And given that they have, once this technology is in place, they have exclusivity on that, and it's going to be very hard for other companies to break into that space. And this is what I like with conventional gaming advertising: when the gaming company builds the game, they have to insert the ad into the game. So if you're playing that game 5 years down the road, you're still seeing the same ads. The Bidstack solution puts current relevant ads, and obviously with ad targeting and everything else nowadays, you can also tailor it to the market that you want to reach to. So it's a really, really powerful vehicle. So looking at the market, the gaming marketplace worldwide is growing at something like 13% per annum, currently worth $138 billion. It's vast. 2 billion plus games in circulation worldwide. The great thing about Bidstack is that it's what we call platform agnostic. So it can sit on any gaming platform, and the ads can be served via the mechanism that Bidstack have developed. The other thing too is that if you went back 5 or 6 years ago, the bandwidth available to us across internet channels, as we travel, as we sit in offices, the bandwidth varies greatly, and it wouldn't have been possible a few years ago to serve this solution out to gaming. Now with bandwidth and with internet speed, and obviously with 5G on the horizon, this is all entirely possible. So Bidstack have cornered a very, very fast-growing, exciting, and innovative market. looking at the company itself, the CEO, James Draper, owns 20% of the company. The CTO also owns 3%. So they're both substantial shareholders in that regard. And the chief technology officer is ex-Apple. So they've got a very good network of people in place to take the business forward. They've said in recent interviews, obviously you've interviewed James, as you know, Justin, they've said in these recent interviews that they're in advanced discussion with new clients going forward. And the broker Peterhouse has looked at the scenario going forward, expects in the current year that revenues are going to grow 400% to somewhere in the region of 20 million, which given the sort of earnings of 8 million into that, taking a moderate PE of 10 on that gives you something like an 80 million market cap versus the 13 million market cap. I also see that there's a window of opportunity for this company, because if it can lock in, you know, the really big guys like Sony with PlayStation and Xbox and other gaming companies with the network, then it's pretty well got the marketplace sewn up. And as such, if it gets to that point, it's going to become a very attractive acquisition for one of the big advertising players. So for me, this technology stock ticks all the boxes. It's got all the assets in place. It's got a unique solution to serve games out to gaming platforms. And it's in a marketplace that's growing, you know, 13% every year. I mean, it's got everything to play for. So currently at 6.2p, which is just over the IPO price, I think this is an excellent time to get in.
Yeah, but you know what? I love it. I mean, I do own stock in the company. I've done two videos on the company. They've only been listed, like I said, end of last year, pretty much. But I like the way James came on. And he was very worried about hitting the first year revenue target of 300,000. He said, not because we didn't realize we could generate revenue, because we were a new company, we had a new sales team, we had the systems, we're still putting systems in place, because we are sort of, you know, creating this sort of wave. It tried to happen before. It's a company called Massive Inc. who were bought out by Microsoft for, some people say, between, there's no actual figure there, between 200 and 400 million. But at the time, like, it was platform, you know, it was only one platform. Like the 2006, there wasn't the broadband speeds, like you say, so there wasn't mobile gaming as well. And so there was some issues there. But now, I think, you know, James says, it's a phenomenal opportunity, and people keep saying, well, so why wouldn't publishers do this themselves? Well, I'll tell you why they wouldn't do it themselves. It's because they've got one or two games, that's all. Now, their concentration, all their efforts are spent making the games, you know? So they're not going to start coming up with this sort of advertising sort of solution, which connects to platforms, automatically supply-side platforms and links. They haven't got time for that. And also, you know, because BitSack are agnostic, they can just, you know, like I said, have contracts. 9 games now they've got contracts with. They've monetized one so far. It hit that revenue target within 3 months. And James said he's a lot less worried about hitting the 5.9 million for 2019, because now that the systems are in place, and in the last update, they're expanding their sales force. So he came on the podcast. He's very bullish about the amount of interest they're getting. And do you know what? I if you look at my second video there, I give you an idea of the scale of the gaming industry. And I pitted against Graphene and VR, and Graphene is supposed to be only at 1 billion. The entire market of Graphene is supposed to be 1 billion by 2023. VR is like 7 billion by 2023. Now gaming is 183 billion.
Exactly.
There's 3.86 billion pounds this in the last year in the UK alone, and that was based off 3 games. And then if you look further into this, people say, well, that's sales of games, but what you don't understand is this sector is majorly underserved by advertisers. Now, every other sector, like video, TV, you know, MTV, all this, YouTube, all got adverts all over them. But there's not this. This is untapped thing. And Jim's saying mobile and streaming is very exciting, because that's the way things are going, and that's where their tech. They can put their tech can also now update on even DVDs. They'll put because most consoles are connected to the internet anyway. So when you do an update, you can update and they can actually put their tech into DVD things, because that'll be left. That'll be the cloud part of it. But I think it's very exciting. I did liken it to VR and Graphene, because Those are two companies I've had 10 baggers in. And I've had 10 bagger in VRS for a 10 bagger in EVRH. And you just realise the size of the prize here is a lot bigger than those two companies. And I just think the potential is massive. And it will, I think, when they get some news coming out soon, I just think it'll, I just think there's a lot of people following it now. And I just think it'll go bananas, the share price. But do your own research, everyone. Who knows?
I agree, yeah, and that's it. And we're just at the IPO price now. So really, you know, you're still getting in on the shop floor, so to speak. You're getting in sort of right at the start. And this market is huge, and it's you know, compared to, as you say, EVRH or graphene, it's the marketplace is many multiples larger and is growing at a faster rate of knots. Gaming is just massive. I mean, it's it's a bit sort of. It doesn't maybe get the profile that other marketplaces do, but this is, given the increase in bandwidth and broadband speeds too, all this stuff is now becoming more relevant. So this is really the last great untapped market for digital advertising.
Well, James said on the thing, he said they'll be one of the biggest owners of real estate, virtual real estate, in the next 12, 24 months. That's what he reckons. And he says mobile gaming, because, you know, traditional gaming models are this. The gamers, you know, release a game every update every year, pretty much, and they sell it, and that's the one-off. That's all they get, is that money, pretty much, that comes in from that sales of that game. And so it's a no-brainer to them to get an extra revenue stream coming in from advertising. And as long as it's not destructive to the game, which is not, it's native in-game advertising, they can update campaigns from any other advertiser. But then he said mobile is even better than that, because they're free to play, so they rely on adverts. But if the adverts can be better, then they can put more in there, it's less destructive, they'll be more effective, and more companies will advertise. You know, you get big brands advertising because they don't want to do pop-ups and all this stuff and destroy a gamer's experience, because they're on the gamer's side. But he said the install base for mobile is about 200 to 300 times bigger than actual consoles and DVDs and all this stuff, because that's the way it's going. So the potential is massive, you know. So, yeah, do your own research, everyone. Who knows? It's still very early days, you know. So,
early days. Yeah.
And obviously, me and Alan like
shares can go down as well as up.
And I say this in the video. I say, check out the video. And I just say, I'm biased because I own shares. I like the company a lot. Please do your own research. You know, assume, like it's Dragon's Den, it's an idea. It's up to you to say, accept or reject it, you know. But there we go. What's next, Al?
Okay, spoken fairly regularly about ECR minerals. ECR is the EBIT code. And again, you know, the conversations we've had this year about, mining and resource companies being fully funded and the potential of the asset, all the rest of it. Now, this is one company which I think certainly ticks the boxes. ECR Minerals is currently worth 3.1 million. Shares have been as high as 1.2p, as low as 0.63p, currently trading at 0.8p. ECR Minerals have a raft of assets in central Victoria. They have this is Central Victoria in Australia, which is historically has a great reputation for gold mining and producing a whole raft of minerals. ECR own the Avoca, Bellaston, Moranbill, Timor, Creswick licenses within the region, and they've undertaken drilling activity in the area, and the sampling they've taken certainly from the Blue Moon project shows that there's a decent level of gold within the region that can be extracted. Given, of course, the upswing in gold, with the general uncertainty on the global macroeconomic level, gold is, of course, moving up in value. So there are moves now into securing and sourcing new gold mining assets, and ECR is at the forefront of this. But I think significantly for ECR in Victoria, adjacent to the license area that they have there, adjacent to the Bayliston license, Newmont Mining, which is of course a massive Australian mining company, have also applied for a license, which is adjacent to, and indeed the geology is shared across those two areas of land. So this is obviously highly encouraging and shows that ECR are very much on the money in that regard. Elsewhere, ECR have assets in the Sierra de la Minas gold project in Argentina, the Dangle gold project in the Philippines. But last week they announced that they'd also applied for 9 new licenses for the Windida gold project in the Yilgarn region in Australia. Now Yilgarn is well established and it's well known it's estimated to be something like 30% of the world's known gold resources, and it's one of the oldest. Some of the rocks there are absolutely ancient, and the geology has been well mapped over the years, there's recognition that with modern mining techniques and modern sampling techniques that there are many areas of the Yilgarn Craton that are yet to be fully explored, and that's the view that ECR Minerals and its chief exec Craig Brown are. They've applied for 9 new licenses in the region, With the activity sort of in Australia at present, it's looking extremely encouraging given the support, particularly for the Victoria project that Newmont have come in to apply for licenses adjacent to ECR's project. The other thing with ECR Minerals, which is key, is the company is fully funded through to June 2020. Now, many small mining companies are struggling to raise money in this market. They're struggling to raise funding, and the reason is that obviously, if a company is pre-cash, it's pre-production, then it's highly speculative, and investors are reluctant to put money into something where they can't see near-term revenues. But given that ECR has funding through to the end of quarter two in 2020, plus the directors also subscribed in the recent fundraising, they've got something like 1.7 million with warrants in the mix as well. The company expects to be able to identify assets within the time, and clearly with the rise in the gold price supporting the movement too. It's my view that although, you know, obviously there are inherent risks with small cap miners like this, that ECR is probably one of the best, offers the best spread of risk for a small mining company in the current climate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, do you know, I just caught my eye then. Oddly, while you were chatting there, I just saw a CNBC thing come up, and then someone's back to vegan here, but they've got this Beyond Meat in America, apparently. The burger, they actually... It's plant based, but it looks like it bleeds like meat. Like it's so good, they reckon. It's convincing meat eaters. But anyway, so yeah, ECR. I know the one had Craig on recently, actually. But yep. They seem to have a lot of options there. And like I said, small gap. But the most important thing at the moment is cash, isn't it? You know, in this
it
day
is.
Age,
it is. Yeah,
got to have cash.
That... Mm. That's the thing. That there are plenty of great assets out there, but ECR ticks the box, you know, from so many angles. Given that it's got this raft of the raft of mining licenses, the fact that Newmont have applied for a license adjacent to the area where the geology is shared, an experienced team, and the company's fully funded through to the middle of next year. So you know they've got. That they're undertaking an intensive drilling program. Obviously, with the licenses, they'll undertake drilling in the once those licenses are granted. And you know, we should expect some. Well, I expect to hear some exciting results and confirmation of the surveys later in the year.
Marvelous. Anything else you're looking at?
Yeah, I want to revisit a medical technology stock that we've spoken about on a number of occasions in the past. And it's a company called Feedback PLC. And Feedback, of course, have been trading for a number of years. To summarize the offering, that they have a medical imaging a piece of medical imaging software called TexRad, which was developed at the Innovation Center where we're of course based here on the South Coast by Dr. Balaji Ganeshan and his colleagues, and TexRad has is used under license and has a CE mark and is being used worldwide to identify tumours across a range of conditions. The software identifies tumour conditions and medical conditions earlier than a surgeon might otherwise be able to pick up. This is complemented by the archiving service that Feedback also owns, which is called CADRAN, the CADRAN system, which is used at Papworth Hospital and a number of other hospitals. It's also CADRAN are also working with Future Processing in Poland to further develop and enhance the archiving system. So when medical professionals access the archives to look at X-rays and images, they can then apply the TextRad medical imaging software to these images and hopefully identify conditions that they wouldn't otherwise see with a naked eye. The company is currently worth $5 million. The shares have been as high as just under 4p on the year, as low as 1.22p, and it's just off that now, trading at 1.4p. The company announced its final results at the end of last year. Sales were up 50% to 771,000. Operating losses increased to 750,000 from 300,000 previous year. On the current financial year, sales were already up 100% to 236,000. And the company is also well funded. It raised just under 1.4 million in November last year. Has a number of well-established medical professionals on the board, Tim Irish and Simon Sturgis, and the company is regularly updating let us know that Dr. Balaji Ganeshan is all around the world. He's presenting at medical conferences. He's regarded as a real pioneer in his field, and on the back of his reputation and what TextRad has achieved, the sales of the company are increasing steadily. And I've always seen Feedback and TextRad and CADRAN as a potential takeout target for a bigger medical player. This is an area which is quite heavily there's quite a significant amount of competition, but Feedback I think is now the established go-to solution for medical imaging, and I do see it becoming part of a larger company further down the road. But clearly I've got my view. I'm also a shareholder in Feedback too, so shares can go down as well as up, as we say, Justin, but you know, the company still has a great deal to offer going forward. I should also say as well that IQAI, the former Flying Brands, uses a version of TextRad under license for its kidney stones diagnostic offering too. So with TextRad being used under license, there's a great deal more scope, I think, to expand the offering and clearly expand the revenues as a result.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what? I always like to see revenues going up, but they're not really going up, are they? The invoiced amount has gone up, but I mean, actual sales they've announced haven't really gone up. So I don't know what's going on there.
Well, sales in the first quarter have gone up 100% to 236,000. So on that basis, it wouldn't be unreasonable to assume they'll hit the £1 million in sales this year. And also, you know, looking at where the chart is too, I wouldn't say it's flatline, but certainly we're approaching a technical inflection point where I think a bit of news is going to propel the stock quite dramatically one way or the other. So that's, you know, that's always interesting too. You know, when you see a stock that's continuing to trade, at a satisfactory level, it's generating an increase in revenue, but nothing happens. The next announcement could result in a breakout from current levels. But clearly, that's an opinion. It could go the other way. So
No. Sorry, I didn't see that. Yeah, invoice sales in the first quarter, current year, up 100%, 236,000.
Yeah.
Considering sales this year was what? Entire year was
771.
So that's invoice, isn't it? But actual revenue is 458. So that's quite impressive, really, in the first quarter if that invoice comes in. So yeah, it could have a bit of a re-rate on the sales, hopefully.
Well, I think where it is technically as well, the stock has more or less been flatlining. It's picked up a bit, but I think we could be approaching an inflection point. And once we start to get further news, and we get a feel for what the half year figures are going to be, then I think we will see some movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, do you know what? It's on my watch list. I have it on a price alert as well, so I'll always read up the updates. But thanks for reminding us, FDBK. Do your own research, everyone. Anything else, Al, or was that it?
That's it for today, Jess.
Marvellous stuff. Well, we'll speak next week, Al.
All right, Jess. Cheers, mate. Speak next week. Bye for now.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. At five, Shield Therapeutics. STX, very interesting company. I did add those to my watch list after Carl came on the podcast yesterday talking about it. And it's a company that's now in commercialization of its drug. And they've been given £11 million from Norgine, a company, to buy the license in order to distribute it. And but obviously, Shield still get royalties and payments and all that stuff. So very interesting. And also, big milestone coming up. They're looking to get at approval in America. They've got approval in Europe to distribute it. Now looking for approval in America. Worth looking at and doing some research on, I think. STX. At four, Dillastone Group, DSG, announced a major contract today and the share price shot up. I did do a bit of background research on them. Not impressed with the current liabilities and they're still a bit loss-making, but I've added them to my watch list just in case. DSG. At three, Tomco Energy, TOM. At two, Zoo Digital, another one, big fall today, trading update, they fell at 46%. I did do a look at them, and again, even though they've fallen by a long way, I still think they're overvalued a little bit, ZOO, just my opinion. I'm not saying there isn't a trade in there. A lot of people are buying it for a trade. Of course, you can have a big aggressive bounce sometimes, but looking at, I think the interims, they turn over about $15 million US dollars. They're valued about $50 million still after this drop. They had cash of just under $1 million and they made a loss on that, about $200,000 or $150,000. Their net asset value is around about $2.6 million at the finals, but it was less than that previously. So there we are. I mean, I don't think it's particularly undervalued anyway, but who knows? There may be an excellent trade in there. The difference between a trader and an investor, of course. And number one, most followed company. In fact, Alan talked about it, Bidstack. I no way told Alan to talk about Bidstack. He came on and just started talking about it because apparently he's watched my video and Money Sponge's video. And he likes it and he's taken a position, apparently. So it's BIDS. Okay. Top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Red Emperor Resources, quarterly activities and cash flow report. At four, Solar Oil, completion of disposal of Pedal 331 license. At three, Amerisay Resources, reserves, operational and production update. At two, UK Oil and Gas, completion of Arrowton Oil Discovery acquisition. And number one, most liked RNS came from Sirius Minerals, Q4 progress update. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much appreciated.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.